And I'm now joined with Alan Farrell, TD for Fine Gael, to discuss why public should not travel abroad despite Green List publication, and also about a couple of other issues that we'll touch on later. Good morning, Alan. Thank you very much for joining us.
Good morning, Johnny. Thanks for having me.
You're most welcome. Alan, first of all, there are 15 countries on the Green List. I won't name all of them. We don't have time for it. But for anyone seeking a sun holiday at this time, I mean, the likes of Greece, Malta, Cyprus and Gibraltar are included. Now, whilst non-essential travel is being discouraged by our government, then why produce this Green List? Is it not sending out a mixed message?
It's a fair question, Johnny, and I certainly understand that the general public has looked at it in two ways. One, under the public health guidance that's been provided by NPHET and by government, and two, in the context of what you normally do in the summer, which is take a little break. Green indicates that it's safe, and unfortunately, that just isn't the case. So really, I think there is an element of personal responsibility that has to be taken when weighing up the risk, the need to take a holiday versus the risk of exposure to COVID and all that entails. So the Green List has been produced for the purposes of ensuring that citizens are aware that these countries, if you travel to them for necessary reasons, bereavement, care for a family member or relative, that if you return from those countries, that you're not required to quarantine for 14 days. But the difficulty is that it's not a license to take a holiday in those countries. And I understand the frustration and the annoyance and, quite frankly, the anger, because I've witnessed it personally. But the bottom line is we are in the midst of a pandemic. The people whom we relied upon in March and April and May and June are giving us the same advice that they were giving us in March and April and May and June, which is don't take unnecessary risks, don't take a holiday, stay at home, have a holiday in Ireland instead. And the government are attempting to provide a stimulus for that purpose through the July stimulus package and specifically the tax rebate on staycations from October through April, which is a cashback offering of €125 for the up to €625 that's spent on accommodation and food in Ireland. And that will, I think, be a meaningful gesture to try and support the industry, which, of course, is on its knees because aviation is on its knees and the hotel and entertainment industry are on its knees. So it's important that we support our local enterprises up and down the country with our usual spend that we might spend abroad.
Yeah, unfortunately, some people are taking holidays to those green countries. We know that. Take, for example, the UK is not on the list for obvious reasons, and we all know why. But let's say four young Irish guys go on a sun holiday to Greece, and at the same time, a group of English go to the same resort, probably stay in the same hotel. The Irish guys then come home with no need to quarantine because it's on the green list. They may have been infected with the virus, but don't know it yet. Suddenly we have a cluster of COVID-19 here in Ireland related to this one-off holiday.
And therein lies the problem. Yeah. And therein lies the problem, Johnny. You know, the world is a very, very small place. You and I can get on a plane in half an hour and be in Australia in 22 hours. And the truth of the matter is that the world is a very small place. There are countries where this pandemic hasn't even hit its peak. We had 1,000 deaths in the United States on one day last week. We had 6,000 people die in South America as a continent in one single day last week. Now, you know, those figures are stark and scary. And I think it should inform people as to what we're dealing with. We are dealing with a global world where people can get from A to B with relative ease. There's lots of countries where there are no lockdowns. In terms of air transport, there's lots of countries where people don't need to give reasons for going on a holiday or leaving the country by aircraft. They can land in those countries. My own brother, who's a decade older than me, lives in the UK, and you know he's been talking to me for some weeks now, like myself, a former Chanel boy, about a holiday that he had planned in August, in late August, in Greece with his family. And he was obviously very reluctant and wanted to know the advice from NPHET because the UK advice has been a little bit mixed. And obviously I was able to say exactly what I've said to your listeners this morning, that it isn't worth it. It's just not worth the risk.
Okay. On a different note, Alan, tell us about the €168 million package to assist third level institutions with reopening in September.
Yeah, this is obviously really good news as far as I'm concerned. Minister Simon Harris has moved from the Department of Health over to a brand new department for higher and further education. So a dedicated department with a cabinet minister looking after our third level institutions. The money will be spent, the 168, as you mentioned, on getting universities and third level institutions back up and running, supporting students, and also doing things like the bridging the digital divide, which will be providing students with laptops and tablets for the purposes of remote learning and even classroom learning when that occurs. So it's really important that we ensure that the gap, the 6 month gap that has been present in education for our students up and down the country is closed as quickly as possible with all the necessary supports to try to minimise the disruption to their third level education right across the state. So it's not just third level, it's also secondary level. You know, we're talking about an additional 1,000 secondary school teachers in the Department of Education, as it was. You know, the Student Assistance Fund is being doubled, and that will help students who were not able, for instance, to work during the summer, as many do, or even part-time jobs during the academic year to support themselves. So it's important that we put in place an alternate to that that work that they're not able to do because the bars and clubs and theatres and all the rest of it are not operating at 100%, and therefore employment is hard to come by in those sectors. I believe it's been very, very quick by Minister Harris and the Cabinet to put this together, and it's a really welcome move, and included in it is something that I'm personally very pleased to see, and that's an additional €3 million towards mental health supports, because I and so many other people recognise the incredible strain that this has placed on people, and either, you know, Leaving Certificate students, even fifth year students who have a huge exam coming in the next 12 months, or Leaving Certificate students that missed out on sitting an exam, and the stress that it places them under, final year students, there's nursing students who are distraught really with worry about how they're going to be able to get through the academic year with the placements that are required to get their qualification. So supporting that and giving them the necessary supports, even a phone call or a text message, which is all the norm now for people to communicate their concerns to professional people. So I'm very pleased to see this put in place, and I'm certainly hoping that it will help students get back to education in September.
Okay, there's also a digital divide among third level students, with many having difficulties, as you mentioned earlier, accessing laptops or tablets. Some have no Wi-Fi access and others need assistance on how to use them. How exactly, within, you know, the package, can this be addressed?
So there's a €15 million allocation as part of the €168 million that's been allocated by Minister Harris, and the purpose of that is to specifically bridge the divide, provide students with grants for Wi-Fi connections, for laptops and for tablets as required. So it is effectively free free hardware and Wi-Fi connections to support those students. The precise details of which will be worked out, probably, I think I spoke to Minister Harris on Tuesday about that very matter, Johnny, and it was mentioned that it would be clarified later this week or early next week. So the precise details would be provided well in advance of the beginning of the academic year, so that any student who, you know, doesn't have an internet connection or might have a poor one or doesn't have a suitable laptop for e-learning will be provided with one. And I think that's really important. It should also be said that the third level institutions themselves have welfare officers in the main who can support students who might have digital deficits or otherwise for that matter, in supporting them in being the best they can be at third level. And those services have always been in place, but they will become all the more important in the coming academic year, and government will obviously do our best to support them in their work in very short order.
Okay. Finally, Alan, tell us about this stimulus package and how it's going to contribute to business, jobs and recovery.
Yeah, so the total package, Johnny, is over 7.4 billion euros to stimulate economic activity. Included in that, of course, are the educational supports that I've already mentioned. But the business support package that was put in place and commenced back in March is being built upon through the July stimulus. But the stimulus package is also targeted at everybody else. So for citizens, for the general public, we'll see a reduction in VAT from September from 23 to 21%, which I hope will mean a reduction in the price of goods and services that are purchased from then on in. There will be a special reductions for the hospitality sector, which were not included in the original package announced back in sort of March and April. The pandemic unemployment payment has been extended through to April 2021. It's in the shadows at the moment, but once it's passed, that will come into effect. The temporary wage subsidy scheme has been replaced by an employment wage subsidy scheme, and that has also been extended through to April of next year. Loans and grants, Johnny, have been extended quite significantly. So there have been 0% interest loans for short periods through the existing loan systems that are in place, but it has now been extended to 0% for the first 12 months. And of course, there's been hundreds of millions of euros given in restart grants right across the country from 2,000 euros up to 10,000 euros. That's been extended up to 300 million euros, which is very significant, in tandem with a further extension of the waiver on commercial rates, which was in place for 3 months, has now been extended to a further 3 months to the end of September. The online trading voucher scheme has also been quite successful. In Dublin, I believe it's over 1 million, and in Fingal, it's over 500,000 euros have been given. And that is free money for businesses to get their company or their premises back up and running. And really, really important that is continued. The restart grant, is 3 million euros in Fingal, and I understand over 5 million in Dublin. So very, very significant sums of money being pumped into the economy. And the purpose of all of that, of course, is to try to avoid any austerity measures that would ordinarily be introduced. And the reason that we're able to borrow and invest like this is because our economy was doing so well up to the day before the lockdown occurred, and obviously the effects that it's had on our public finances and the global economy. But we will do our best to try and ensure that businesses are supported, employment and employees are supported to stay in their work, not to mention incentives for people to work from home if it's practical and feasible and agreeable with their employer. Because we find that an awful lot of people are able to do their job just as well as they did in their office without the potential risk of exposure to the general public or indeed their colleagues and family members. So, you know, there's lots of things I think that we can take as positives from this pandemic. You know, I think one of the biggest ones, Johnny, and I think you'll probably agree, has been the nature of sort of how people have worked together, neighbours, friends, you know, even communities getting together. Really heartening scenes of GAA clubs and sports clubs up and down the country delivering groceries and checking in on vulnerable residents and things like that. And, you know, we really want to be able to continue to support people to do those sorts of things. And this stimulus package, I suppose, has a purpose, and that purpose is to ensure that we try and support as many people as we possibly can in the short term. And then, obviously, in October, the national budget will be announced, which will sort of bookend the financial year, and hopefully we'll be able to, I suppose, trade our way out of this and work together to get out of it as best we can.
Okay, I have to say it all sounds great, but is there anything within the package that can support those who lost their business due to the pandemic? Like, for example, certain retailers, some pub owners, our local newspaper here, Northside People, I mean, that's gone.
Indeed.
And it
well,
is like yoga instructors.
They're coming back, Johnny. Yeah. I was contacted only recently. They are on their way back.
Oh, that's great.
To see.
Okay. Yeah, but the likes of yoga instructors, you know, due to, you know, social distancing that cannot be managed by them, that there's no demand anymore. Is there anything in the package for these businesses?
Well, Johnny, the continuation of the wage subsidy scheme is very important because, you know, we're not able to match the wages of certain individuals because their salaries would obviously be far in excess of the social welfare payment. And I don't think anybody would expect us to pay the salaries, the prior salaries of individuals. But what we can do is support them as best we can to both give them the pandemic unemployment payment until at least April of next year. And this is only something that's being announced in July 2020, so we don't know what's going to happen in the medium term. You know, it may well be extended again, which is another discussion. But, I mean, in terms of those who have been unable to open their businesses, that support package is there. And, yes, of course, there are listeners who I'm sure have read articles about specific industries that may or may not be directly supported. But if you are out of work because of COVID-19, you are entitled to receive the pandemic unemployment payment, and that is the state's response. Everything else in terms of the July stimulus is designed to get as many people back to work, to get as many businesses back trading again so that we can support those employees and eventually have them taken off the pandemic unemployment payment because they don't require it anymore. And ensuring that businesses have the wage subsidy scheme as well is really important because those businesses keep their employees on the payroll, are supported by government in paying them their salary, and the business themselves then has the option to obviously have their employee working away while being supported in a dual way by the state, so the employee and the business is supported. So the more of this and the more investment, particularly on the capital side, which is not mentioned in the stimulus package in any major way, but our plan would be to ensure that the national capital expenditure on projects, everything from roads and railways to bridges and schools and things like that, is fast-tracked because they support tens of thousands of people on the construction side or in the design side in their employment. So if we can move as much capital expenditure into the short term, we can actually stimulate further growth in the economy. Because our plan, endorsed through their own independent research in the ERSI, has suggested that, you know, late 2021, early 2022 is when we will emerge from what you might perceive to be a period of extreme difficulty. And then it would be a matter for us to put in place the proposals and the sort of the recovery plan, that the action plan for jobs Mark II, if you will, that Richard Bruton was so successful with over the last number of years, you know, to make sure that we stimulate the economy and get as many people back into employment as possible.
Okay, understand where you're coming from. So we're going to leave it at that, Alan. I know you're in a running late for a meeting. So thanks again for joining us today, and all the very best to you, and take care.
Thank you, Johnny. Bye-bye now.
You're most welcome. Now, that was Deputy Alan Farrell, TD from Fine Gael, talking about why public should not travel abroad unless for essential reasons. Also about financial package and support for third level students and universities, and about the stimulus package to assist businesses, jobs and recovery across the country.